Let's read together Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. Now, in the second half of Matthew chapter 4, we have the beginning of our Lord's great Galilean ministry and the call of four disciples. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat with their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Let's begin our study of this second half of Matthew chapter 4 with some background notes. Between verses 11 and 12 of this chapter, we have a time gap of almost 1 year. In the first 11 verses, we had the temptations or testings of our Lord in the Judean wilderness. Now, beginning here in verse 12, we have the start of our Lord's great Galilean ministry. We know from the early chapters of John's Gospel that almost a year of ministry in Jerusalem and Judea takes place between these two verses. John chapter 3, verse 24 says, "For John had not yet been thrown into prison." And here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12, we read now, "When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee." So there's about a year of ministry in Jerusalem and Judea between verses 11 and 12 of Matthew chapter 4. Here in the second half of Matthew chapter 4, we are still relatively early in our Lord's public ministry. Remember, the Lord's public ministry lasted about 3.5 years from his baptism until the crucifixion. After John the Baptist was arrested, the Lord moved out of Judea and into Galilee, where he had grown up as a boy. He did not move away from Judea out of fear of Herod Antipas, who had arrested John, because Galilee was also under this Herod's jurisdiction. His move into the Galilee area, known as Galilee of the Gentiles, foreshadowed the time when the gospel would go out to the Gentile world in view of his coming rejection by the Jews. Even that rejection is anticipated here in verse 13. "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali." The reason that the Lord left Nazareth is because the Jews there rejected his ministry. Remember, they tried to throw him over a cliff after he had announced his messiahship in the synagogue at Nazareth. Read about that in Luke chapter 4. The Lord left Nazareth, his boyhood home, and settled in Capernaum on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. This was in the region that was originally settled by the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. All this was in fulfillment of Isaiah's messianic prophecy that is quoted here in verses 15 and 16. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." This messianic prophecy is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The light here is obviously Christ, the true light of the world. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this second half of Matthew chapter 4. So doctrinal or teaching point number one. The Lord preached the gospel of the kingdom in the early days of his ministry. The Lord preached the gospel of the kingdom in the early days of his ministry. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. We see that in the early days of our Lord's ministry, his teaching ministry focused on the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom. This was essentially the same message that John the Baptist preached. I'm reading Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So we see that in the early days of our Lord's ministry, his teaching ministry focused on the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom was the good news that the Messiah had arrived, and his kingdom that was predicted and promised in the Old Testament prophecies was at hand. So along with his miracles of healing, our Lord also taught the people in the synagogues of Galilee and proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom to the Jewish people. We learn from Matthew chapter 10 that this gospel of the kingdom was only presented to the Jews, not the Gentiles and not the Samaritans. I'm reading Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Matthew 10, 5 through 7. Unfortunately, the king and his offer of the kingdom were rejected by the Jewish people. In fact, the Jewish leaders of Israel attributed our Lord's miraculous works to the power of Satan. How terrible. We'll see this in Matthew chapter 12. As a result, the Lord began to teach in parables in Matthew 13, the form that the kingdom would take at the present time. There would be the wheat and the tares growing together until the end time. And there would be the good and the bad fish and the wise and the foolish virgins of the parables before the Lord returned to set up his earthly kingdom. And in the meantime, the gospel of the Great Commission would go out to the whole world. And the Lord would now set up the church, which would include Jews and Gentiles together. Did you realize that Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 is the first mention of the church in the Bible? "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And now that the kingdom was rejected, the Lord began to speak of his coming death and resurrection to his disciples. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. This revelation was not emphasized early in our Lord's ministry. The Lord had mentioned to Nicodemus that the Son of Man must be lifted up, but this was not emphasized in the early days of our Lord's ministry. It was the gospel of the kingdom that was emphasized. The Lord preached the gospel of the kingdom in the early days of his ministry. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord called his first disciples in the early days of his ministry. The Lord called his first disciples in the early days of his ministry. In verses 18 through 22, we have the call of Peter and Andrew and James and John to be disciples. Now, don't get the idea that these disciples were seeing the Lord for the first time and that they left everything to follow this stranger who was walking along the beach and called them just out of the blue. No. In John chapter 1, we read of the Lord meeting Peter and Andrew and Philip and Nathanael months earlier in Judea. This, you could say, was their call to salvation. He may have met some of the other disciples at this time as well. In any case, here at the beginning of our Lord's great Galilean ministry, we have the call to discipleship of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Now we read more details of this call in Luke chapter 5. There in verse 11, Luke chapter 5, verse 11, we read that they forsook all and followed him. The fact that the Lord called these four disciples out of their secular jobs of fishing does not mean that to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you must leave your secular job. Everybody follow that? Just because the Lord called these four disciples out of their secular jobs of fishing does not mean that to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you must leave your secular job. The Lord does not call all of his committed followers out of secular employment. Some he does, but not all. In fact, he wants his disciples to be sprinkled around in all areas of living. And the fact that James and John left their father, Zebedee, does not mean that to be a disciple you must leave home. No. In fact, becoming a disciple does not relieve you of family responsibilities. The point here is priorities. Becoming a disciple means that the Lord must be number one in reference to your livelihood and in reference to your family ties. Certainly, we see this teaching in the call of the first disciples. The Lord called his first disciples in the early days of his ministry. Now, what about practical application from the second half of Matthew chapter 4? Don't forget your background. Don't forget your background. Do you think the Lord used the background of these disciples who were fishermen? Of course he did. Verse 19, then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Think of all the principles and techniques of fishing that these disciples could now apply, that they could apply as disciples in evangelism. Go where the fish are. Use the right bait. Know when to draw in the net. And more principles. God can and will use your background in what he calls you to do. Just as the Lord used David's background of being a shepherd and dealing with sheep to prepare David for being a king and dealing with people, so the Lord used the background of these disciples who were fishermen to prepare them for being fishers of men. And so the Lord has used and will use your background in some way to prepare you for what he has for you now and in the future. You know, I'm always amazed at how much the Lord has used my background in engineering in reference to my present teaching ministry with students. So whatever your background was, even before you became a Christian, God can use it for his glory. So don't forget your background.